Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, October 15, 2024. Joel.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3. And after Joel 3, we will be in Joel 4. In preparation to worship our Lord, let's pray. Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom you've given to us in Client Nation USA, the freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This is an article by Tom Gilbreth, The Bright and Glorious Hope. The news is troubling. The United States appears to be intent on cultural suicide. Russia's vast nuclear arsenal rests in the hands of a man who seems unstable. China has made world domination its goal. War rages in the Middle East, and this war could spiral quickly out of control, threatening not only those regions, but this whole interconnected world. In America, we depend on people who consider us their enemies for many of our necessities, including important medicines. Supply lines are long and vulnerable. We have grown dependent on increasingly advanced technology, knowing that every wrinkle of complexity adds another point of vulnerability. Today's doomsayers, they don't walk around Times Square wearing sandwich signs saying, "The end is near." Instead, they stand at the highest ranks of academia and government. Climatologists predict a change in the basic functioning of the Earth's atmosphere. Both political parties predict the demise of American democracy. Of course, we are not a democracy, we're a republic. But anyway, they both predict the demise of American democracy if the other side wins. And this time, they both believe that that will happen. But the Word of God should be a source of comfort and joy for the believer in Jesus Christ. We are eyewitnesses to the world dramatically changing itself into the end times geopolitical shape prophesied by the Bible. And this should remind everyone that the whole Bible is true and can be trusted. As the song says, our God reigns. Well, that's what the song says, but what Upland Bible Church says, and you hear over and over again, is Jesus Christ controls history. Maybe you're not just worried about Putin, Hamas, or Iran. Maybe you're also worried about your neighbor who has been sick. Or perhaps it's you. Maybe you feel alone, even abandoned. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are never alone or abandoned. Troubled times, be they global or personal, should draw us closer to God and the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Believers in Jesus Christ have the sure and certain hope of heaven, but our hope is also sure and certain right now. You can face today's challenges and tomorrow's, and you can face them with absolute confidence in the God of your salvation. Joel chapter 3. In Joel chapter 3, 9 and 10, we have the announcement of Armageddon. In Joel chapter 3, 11 and 12, we have the assembly for Armageddon. And then in Joel 3, 13 to 15, we have the awesomeness of Armageddon. And that brought us to Joel 3, 16 and 17, where we have the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. And when he returns in great military glory. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest soldier of all time. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, anointed by God the Father. And God the Father has entrusted all judgment to the Son. John chapter 5, verses 22 and 27. Joel 3:16a says, "And the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, and he will thunder from Jerusalem, and the heavens, the stellar heavens, and the earth will shake and quake." There will be two categories of people on planet Earth who will witness the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be a remnant of believers. They will be rescued and delivered by Jesus Christ and brought into the millennial kingdom. And then there will be all the unbelievers on planet Earth. For all unbelievers on the earth, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a time of terrifying judgment. First of all, there will be lights out for the universe, a time of total darkness, Joel 3:15. And then the roar of the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lion of Judah coming to devour his prey, Joel 3:16. And then the Lord Jesus Christ in brilliant military glory coming to defeat and destroy all the Gentile armies that have assembled from the north, the south, the east, and the west. From the north, today that would be Russia, king of the north. From the east, that today is communist China. From the south, the Pan-Arabic bloc. From the west, the revived Roman Empire, led by the Antichrist. Then the Lord Jesus Christ in brilliant military glory, coming to defeat and destroy all the Gentile armies from the face of the earth. The appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ and his military glory will cause unbelievers all over the world to mourn, because they realize that the time of their judgment has come. The whole universe will shake in judgment, Joel 3:16. But then in the second half of Joel 3:16, we see what the second advent will be like for the remnant of believers. Joel 3:16b, "But the Lord," that's Jehovah, Jesus Christ, "the shelter from danger for his people and the means of protection for the sons of Israel," the remnant of Jewish believers. While the unbelieving world is in a state of terror over the coming judgment, the remnant of believers find their security and protection in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ will be the shelter from danger for his people and the means of protection for the remnant of Jewish believers. God will supernaturally protect a remnant of believers from both Satan and the Antichrist. And we close with that last week, studying Revelation 12:13-17, Zechariah 12:1-9, Zechariah 13:8-9, Nahum 1:7, 2 Samuel 22:2-4, the Song of the Soldier. We studied that all last time. I'm not going back and go over that again. And then Joel 3:17 says, "Then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion." The word dwelling is shakan. That's where we have the Shekinah glory. Jesus Christ is the Shekinah glory, and he will be dwelling in Zion. my holy mountain. And then Jerusalem will be holy, and foreign aggressors will never invade her again. Joel 3:17. So, one, at the second advent, when the Lord Jesus Christ destroys Israel's enemies, her eyes will be opened and the Jewish remnant will realize that he has been her protector all along. So at the second advent, when the Lord Jesus Christ destroys Israel's enemies, her eyes will be opened and the Jewish remnant will realize that he has been her protector all along. Two, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem. And not only will Israel have perfect security, but the whole world will have peace. The whole world will have peace because now the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, is ruling planet Earth. The Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, will rule planet Earth from Jerusalem. And not only will Israel have perfect security, but the whole world will have peace. Three, there will be no more foreign aggressors. There will be no more military invasions into Israel. There will be no more foreign aggressors. There will be no more military invasions into Israel. In fact, man will learn war no more. Four, Jerusalem has been trodden down by the Gentiles for centuries. Jerusalem has been trodden down by the Gentiles for centuries. Luke 21, verse 24 says, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And that's the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. Five, but in the millennial kingdom, her enemies will never oppress her anymore. But in the millennial kingdom, her enemies will never oppress her anymore. Six, Jerusalem will become the capital of planet Earth. The capital of the entire world will be Jerusalem. And the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, Jesus Christ, will rule the entire planet Earth from Jerusalem. Seven. Jerusalem will be the city of peace because the Prince of Peace will be ruling the entire world. Jerusalem will be the city of peace because the Prince of Peace will be ruling the entire world. So once again, Joel 3:16 and 17 sounds like this. And the Lord will roar like a lion from Zion, And he will thunder from Jerusalem. And the heavens, the stellar heavens, and the earth will shake and quake. But the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, is the shelter from danger for his people and the means of protection for the sons of Israel, the remnant of Jewish believers. Verse 17, and then you will realize and know that I am the Lord your God, the one who keeps on dwelling in Zion, the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, my holy mountain. And then Jerusalem will be holy and foreign aggressors will never invade her again. Now that brings us to the last paragraph of Joel chapter 3. The day of the Lord and the restoration in the millennium. Today, in Israel and in Jerusalem, towering some 58 feet high, is the beige limestone Wailing Wall. And there, standing at the wall, is the stooped figure of an Orthodox Jew. Daily, he comes to the Wailing Wall to pray, his head covered, shoulders draped in a tallith, and a prayer book in his hand. In Hebrew, he offers a mumbled prayer for Messiah to come and bring peace to Israel and rebuild the temple on its historical site. Hundreds of his fellow countrymen come with the same request, written on small pieces of wadded paper, which they will place into the crevices of the massive stone wall, hoping that the Lord will answer their prayers. The Jew, who has known nothing but war or the threat of war for 3,000 years, longs for peace. Yet deep in his heart, he senses that lasting peace will not come to Israel until the Messiah, the Prince of Peace, brings it. Now the rest of the book of Joel outlines the peace and blessing which Israel will experience when Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on earth. 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth. And this is just, it just kills all the environmentalists. There will be perfect environment in the millennial kingdom. Perfect environment. There will be perfect air. There will be perfect water. There will be perfect prosperity. There will be perfect righteousness and perfect justice. And man will learn war no more. There will be no military. There is world peace, world prosperity for 1,000 years. And that's following the tribulation. That's following the 7-year tribulation, and all the buttons are pushed, and everybody says, oh, the air is bad, the water is bad, this is bad. When Jesus Christ comes back, the air is perfect, the water is perfect, There's great prosperity, all the food you want, and there's no war. Jesus Christ is ruling for 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ. Well, that's what we have here. The last part of Joel 3 outlines the peace and the blessing which Israel will experience when Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, returns at the second advent and establishes his kingdom on planet earth. Joel 3:18 starts out this way. In the King, we always start with the King James. And it shall come to pass in that day. We have the conjunction vav prefix to the cal perfect of the verb hayah, plus the preposition bath prefix to the noun yom with the definite article, plus the third person singular masculine pronoun, personal pronoun, who, with the definite article. We start out with the verb hayah. That's H-A-Y-A-H, hayah. The verb hayah. Now, hayah means to fall out or to happen. It means to come to pass. It means to become or to be. It's the Hebrew to be verb. The conjunction vav is the vav conversive, and that converts the perfect tense of hayah into an imperfect tense. And this gives the verb hayah the force of a predictive future. This makes a simple statement that something absolutely is going to happen in the future. V'hayah introduces a prophetic passage about the millennial kingdom. It's correctly translated, it will come about. It will come to pass. And then the preposition bath means in, and then Brown, Driver, and Briggs. The Hebrew Lexicon, page 215, says that the personal pronoun who, when it has the definite article, as it does in our verse, then it has the force of a demonstrative pronoun and is correctly translated that. And then we have the noun yom. Now, we just had here recently in the Jewish Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Yom is the Hebrew word for day. Yom Kippur. Now, in our verse, the word day refers to a 1,000-year period. 1,000-year period on planet Earth when the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, is ruling as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So this is the example, the illustration, where the word day refers to a period of 1,000 years. And God told us this. Of course, you all know. You know your Bibles inside and out, right? No, okay. Well, turn over to 2 Peter 3 then. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3, verse 8. Second Peter 3, 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. 2 Peter 3:8. Well, here it is. Here's the day that's 1,000. Here's the fulfillment of 2 Peter 3:8 right here. And it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on planet earth. that the mountains shall drop down new wine. This is the cal imperfect of not half, plus the plural of the noun har with the definite article, plus the noun asis. Now the noun har H-A-R, the noun har is the Hebrew word for mountain. It's in the plural, the mountains. And these are the higher elevations that are used for growing grapes. And then we have the verb nataf. That's N-A-T-A-P-H, nataf. Now, a couple of things on nataf. Nataf means literally to drop or to drip. The imperfect tense introduces a predictive future. This will come to pass in the millennial kingdom. The imperfect tense also has linear action start. The mountains will keep on dripping for 1,000 years in the millennial reign of Christ. Point two, the mountains will keep on dripping asis. That's I-N-A-S, long I-S, asis. Point three, asis comes from the verb asas, which means to press or to crush. Four, therefore the noun asis literally means pressed out juice, grape juice. Pressed out grape juice. Five, this is the word that's used for the new wine or the sweet wine that has just been pressed. It's this year's vintage. So the corrected translation, and it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, 1,000 year millennial kingdom, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine. Got that? Give it to you again. And it will come about in that day, the day of Messiah's reign on the earth, 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ, that the mountains will keep on dripping new wine. All right. One, this is symbolic for great economic prosperity and productivity during the millennial kingdom all over planet Earth for 1,000 years. This is symbolic of great economic prosperity and productivity all over planet Earth during the millennial kingdom. Two, the climatic conditions on the Earth will produce an abundance of food. There'll be food for everyone all over planet Earth. Abundance of food. More than you could ever eat. But it's there. The climatic conditions on the Earth will produce an abundance of food. Turn over to Isaiah 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah 30, and in, we have in this, in verses 18 to 26 of Isaiah 30, we have the glories of the millennial kingdom. The glories of the millennial kingdom, Isaiah 30, verses 18 to 26. But look at verse 23. He will also send you rain for the seed that you sow in the ground. And the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows. The oxen and donkeys that work the soil will eat fodder and mash spread out with fork and shovel. So here's a description of the glories of the millennial kingdom, and it's, again, the climatic conditions for that 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ on the earth will produce an abundance of food. Food for people, food for animals. And when there's lots of food for animals, well, there's going to be a lot of meat. Then you're going to eat meat in the millennium. I know there's all these vegetarians running around trying to make all of us vegetarians, and that's crazy. I am not a vegetarian. No, I like vegetables. Don't get me wrong. And I love salads. Debbie makes the most fantastic salads. And I have salad every day, every night. I have salad. I love salad. She makes the best ones. But I love meat. And we had yesterday pork loin. Ooh, that's the other white meat, pork loin. Fantastic. Moist, tender, melts in your mouth. Yeah. But you know, the best red meat I have ever eaten, and fantastic, antelope is absolutely phenomenal. And if you have never enjoyed that, well, it's available, and put in for a tag and harvest a nice animal. Make sure you shoot it in the right place and dress it all out. Fantastic. That's all, no extra charge for that. So, point three. In fact, the Bible says that the plowman will overtake the reaper in the millennial kingdom. That's quite a statement. The plowman will overtake the reaper. Turn over to Amos. It's right next to Andy. Okay, maybe not. Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9. And again, we're describing... It says at verse 13, the days are coming. The days are coming. That is the millennial kingdom, the millennial reign of Jesus Christ on the earth following his second advent. The days are coming, the millennial kingdom, declares the Lord, when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading grapes. New wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. I will bring back my exiled people Israel. They will rebuild the ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine. They will make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant Israel in their own land. That, right now, that is Israel's land. I will plant Israel in their own land, never again to be uprooted from the land that I, the Lord, have given them. The land that I gave Israel, the Jewish people, says the Lord your God. The land that Israel is living in, who gave that land? God gave that land to Israel. Gave that land to Israel. That belongs to Israel. Now, this passage, Amos 9, 13 to 15. Let's amplify this a little bit. One, in the millennial kingdom, the land will be so productive that the plowman, who and who starts in October. Now, this is in Israel. This is in Israel. The plowman who starts in October will have to wait for the reaper who should have finished in May. And this is in the agricultural calendar in Israel. So in the millennial kingdom, the land will be so productive that the plowman who starts in October will have to wait for the reaper who should have finished in May. Secondly, the one who treads grapes in July will find that the planter still sowing new seed into the ground by the long delayed plowman. The one who treads grapes in July will find the planter still sowing new seed into the ground by the long delayed plowman. Three, the grapes will hang so heavy in the mountain vineyards that the hills will keep on dripping new wine. That's our verse, Joel 3:18. The grapes will hang so heavy in the mountain vineyards that the hills will keep on dripping new wine, Joel 3:18. Four, so much juice will drip from the vines and overflow from the vats that the mountains will appear to be moving. So much juice will drip from the vines and overflow from the vats that the mountains will appear to be moving. Five. God's restored people, Israel, will live in peace and they will enjoy lavish abundance and prosperity. God's restored people, Israel, will live in peace and they will enjoy lavish abundance and prosperity. But not only them, people all over planet Earth will have lavish abundance and prosperity. That's verse 14 of Amos 9. Six, the frustration and insecurity of war will be a thing of the past. In the millennial kingdom, there is no war. And this is prophesied in two millennial passages in the Old Testament. First one, Isaiah. Turn over to Isaiah 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Now, I don't know what Bible you have, and I always study from the Hebrew text in the Old Testament. I study from the Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, in Joel, and after Joel, we're going to have Zechariah. I do all my studying in the Hebrew text. That's the God-breathed scriptures. I have three Bibles up here. They're all translations. None of these Bibles are the God-breathed scriptures. They're the translation of the God-breathed scriptures. So that's why you have a pastor. And that's why the pastor prepares for the ministry and goes, well, used to be you could go to Dallas Seminary, but they're kaput. But at one time, Dallas Seminary prepared communicators of the Word of God, and I went there and we got wasn't able to make it this year. Rapid Robert Wilkin, he went to Dallas Seminary. I call him Rapid Robert Wilkin because he goes and competes in the Old Farts Olympics in Utah every year. But he and I, we both went to Dallas Theological Seminary and prepared for the ministry. And we majored in Hebrew and Greek so that we could study the God-breathed scriptures and communicate what God, the Holy Spirit, put down for you to learn. Now, on the one I'm reading from here, one thing I like about this is a Ryrie Study Bible. And the thing that's good about that is he has some very excellent notes here. They're not all 100% perfect, but he's got some really great ones. Anyway, he starts out here and says that Isaiah 2, 1 through 4, we have the glory of the future millennial kingdom. Isaiah 2, 1 through 4. So I want you to look at Isaiah 2, verse 4, which says, He will judge between the nations, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling planet Earth in the millennium, and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. No military anywhere on planet Earth in the 1,000-year millennial reign of Christ. There will be no army, no navy, no air force, no Marine Corps. Of course, Air Force, they won't have to play football. And right now, they're almost one of the worst teams in the United States in college football. That's sad because they have been one of the best all the time. Now, you know who's the best? Army and Navy are ranked in the top 25. Army and Navy are undefeated. That hasn't happened since 1945. It may never happen again, but anyway, they're doing great. And now turn over to Micah 4. Micah 4. Micah 4. And again, in the Ryrie Study Bible, it says that Micah chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, we have the glories of the millennial kingdom in Micah 4, 1 through 8. But I want you to look down at verse 4. No, excuse me, verse 3. I want you to look down at verse 3. He will judge between many peoples and will settle disputes for strong nations far and wide. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. So, two passages, millennial prophetic passages, Isaiah 2, 4, Micah 4, 3, the frustration and insecurity of war will be a thing of the past in the millennial kingdom, the reign of Christ for 1,000 years. 7. Also, they will build houses and cities and live in them in peace. They will build houses and cities and live in them in peace. Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, 17 and 18. And again, Dr. Ryrie in his Ryrie Study Bible, it says that Isaiah 32, verses 1 through 20, we have the Messiah and his kingdom. Isaiah 32, 1 through 20. Well, this is a part of that. This is Isaiah 32, verses 17 and 18. The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places, in secure homes, in undisturbed places of rest. So this is again describing the millennial reign of Christ. That whole passage, Isaiah 32, 1 through 20, I just picked out these two verses for this point. Point 8. And the people all over planet Earth will eat and drink and take pleasure of the labor of their hands. And that's Amos 9:14. And we already looked at Amos 9:13 to 15. They will eat and drink and take pleasure of the labor of their hands, Amos 9:14. And 9, God will plant Israel in her own land, in her own land, never again to be uprooted and exiled from the land that He, the Lord, has given to them, the Jewish people. God will plant Israel in her own land, never again to be uprooted and exiled from the land He has given to them. God gave this land to Israel. And the Bible is very, very, very clear on that again and again and again and again. You can go all the way back. Let's go all the way back to Genesis. Genesis 13. Genesis 13, let's start at verse 14. Genesis 13, verse 14. The Lord said to Abram, after Lot had parted from him, lift up your eyes from where you are and look north and south and east and west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your descendants forever. Forever. Not just for a while, forever. I will make your offspring, your descendants, like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I, the Lord, I am giving it to you. To you. Forever. All right, turn to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. Genesis 17, verse 7. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now an alien, I will give. I, the Lord, will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. And I will be their God. I will give to you as an everlasting possession. Not temporary, everlasting possession. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30, start of verse 1. When all these blessings and curses that I have set before you come upon you and you take them to heart, wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations, and when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey Him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I commanded you today, Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your fathers, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your fathers. Turn over to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7. 2 Samuel 7. Starting at verse 10. Verse 10, and I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so that they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. Turn over to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 30. Jeremiah 30, let's start at verse 10. So do not fear, O Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, O Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid. I am with you and will deliver you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. And then turn over to Micah chapter 4. We were there and saw Micah 4:3, but now I want to go through Micah 4:4-7. So Micah chapter 4, we saw verse 3. Micah 4, we've already seen verse 3, remember, the glories of the kingdom, Micah 4:1-8. Now let's look at starting at verse 4. Every man will sit under his own vine and under his own fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. For the Lord Almighty has spoken. All the nations may walk in the name of their gods. We will walk in the name of the Lord, our God, forever and ever. In that day, millennial kingdom, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles and those I have brought to grief. I will make the lame a remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. There's a couple more passages. And I hope you see, with all that's going on in the Middle East, right now Israel is totally surrounded and they're being attacked from the north, south, east, and west right now in Israel. Iran wants to destroy them. Hamas wants to destroy them. Hezbollah wants to destroy them. From all sides, they're not going to be destroyed. God has a plan for Israel, and that He will return at the second advent. And during that 7-year tribulation period, there will be the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah. There'll be 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel, giving the gospel all over the world in the tribulation. And there will be multitudes who will believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Multitudes of Jews, multitudes of Gentiles. Now, many of them will be martyred for their faith in Christ by the Antichrist, but there will be survivors. And when Christ comes back, He will rescue the remnant of believers, both Jewish believers and Gentile believers will be rescued by Christ, and they go into the millennium. God has this fantastic plan. And how about that? The living and true God has put it right there, given it to us. This is it. This is what is going to happen. You can count on it. And so this is an awesome passage. It ought to increase your love for God, the living and true God. He has a perfect plan. You can have absolute confidence in God, absolute confidence in the Word of God. It is absolute truth. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.